Today I want to go a little bit different direction because I'm thinking about the cross and thinking about a man named Barabbas. Barabbas. His name is mentioned in all Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Must have been a mighty important character in the story about the cross. So we're going to look in our Bible, first of all, at Mark. And then I'll be going to Matthew and Mark and Luke and John as we try to understand about this fellow named Barabbas. 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 I remember years ago, back in early 60s, seeing a movie, going to the theater to watch the movie. I think it starred Anthony Quinn. He was Barabbas. He did one of the greatest jobs I've ever seen portraying this. And so if you get a chance to look that up on YouTube or Netflix or something, you could watch the movie even now. And there have been other movies since about Barabbas, but that was, in my memory, the most powerful motion picture in the theaters about this man, Barabbas. In Mark chapter 15, beginning at verse 6, it says, "Now at that feast, he," meaning Pilate, the leader of the Roman government, "now he," at that feast, "he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, who lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection." So you get a picture of Barabbas right there. It says he was in chains, in prison, with others who were insurrectionists. He had committed murder during the insurrection. So you get the picture there of a pretty bad guy. "And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done for them. And Pilate answered them, saying, Will you that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" Now who is that? Jesus. "For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests stirred up the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said unto them, What will you then that I should do unto him whom you call the King of the Jews?" Now what did they cry out? Go ahead, tell me. "Crucify him! Crucify him!" When we have the pageants at Easter and so forth, you always have the crowd out there hollering, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said unto them, "What evil has he done?" They cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus, whom he had scourged, whipped violently, viciously, to be crucified. I think we'll end right there with the reading of that. I'm always moved by the cross. And when I think of what Jesus did, what he went through to be crucified for my sins, I stand in awe at his love and mercy. What kind of a person was Barabbas? Well, let me look with you in Matthew. It doesn't hurt to do a little Bible study on Sunday. Somebody says, "Well, we did that in Sunday school class." Well, this is my class. I don't have another class. Y'all are my class. So let's do a little Bible study. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 27 and look at verse 16. Matthew 27 and verse 16. It says in verse 16 of Matthew 27, "And they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas." So the verse ahead of it says, at the feast, the governor would usually release one of the prisoners to the people, whoever it would be. And so they had a notable prisoner. So that tells us that this was a notorious prisoner, a notorious man. That means he was well known. Folks knew about him. They knew what a bad guy he was, and they knew what terrible things that he had done. He was not an ordinary prisoner, and his reputation had preceded him. They had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will you that I release unto you today? I'm going to release somebody. Do you want me to release Barabbas, this notable prisoner, this insurrectionist, this murderer? Or do you want me to release unto you this man, Jesus, King of the Jews? I guess you would have thought they probably would have called out to be released Jesus, but they didn't, did they? Now in verse 19 of chapter 27, it says that Pilate was seated on his judgment seat, his throne, and his wife came to him and she said, don't have anything to do with this righteous man. I've suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. So Pilate's wife comes up to Pilate and says, I couldn't sleep last night, and I've had some bad, bad dreams about the way this thing's going to turn out. And said, don't you touch Jesus. Don't you have anything to do with condemning this righteous man. She called him a righteous man. And verse 20, the chief priests and the older people, elders, persuaded the multitude. They just kept on and on and on and on, that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. So you have there the religious leaders of the day, the chief priests, the elders, the scribes, all of that, the main religion of Israel, the Jewish religion. They came and kept on begging Pilate to release Barabbas. Look at that in verse 20, and destroy Jesus. Here was that multitude, that religious leaders who were crying, destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, which of the two should I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate then said unto them, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? And they all said unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, what evil has he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made. You remember that scene, that tragic scene? Pilate took a basin of water and washed his hands before the crowd. And in washing his hands, Pilate said, of course, he was thinking about his wife. He's going to have to go back home that night and sleep with her and hear what she said. He was thinking about that. He was thinking about the fact that he didn't think Jesus should be crucified, hadn't done anything worthy of crucifixion. So it says he decided to wash his hands symbolically, washing his hands of that whole mess before the multitude. And he said, okay, y'all, I'm innocent of the blood of this righteous man. See to it. And then answered all the people and said, let his blood be upon us and upon all of our children. So he released Barabbas unto them, and he had Jesus scourged and delivered Jesus to be crucified. If you have seen that motion picture by Mel Gibson, The Passion of the Christ, I've watched it so many, many, many times, and I'll watch it many times, I'm sure, again, but it's so horrible that I can hardly stand it. Mel Gibson wanted to portray how vicious, how awful it was, and in that movie, it really shows how they beat our Lord and how they beat him to a pulp and his blood everywhere. Then he released Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. So we're trying to find out what kind of a man Barabbas was. Look in Luke chapter 23 and verse 19. I said that Barabbas is mentioned in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke chapter 23 and verse 19. Luke 23 and verse 19. I love to hear the rattling of those pages of your Bible. That I love for you to bring your Bible. We have the verses written on the screen, and that's all right. And some of you read in the Bible on your iPhone. That's okay, too. No problem. But I can't hear the rustling of the leaves of the paper, can I, on your iPhone? But look at Luke 23:19. It says, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Now we're trying to find out what kind of a guy Barabbas was, and that we found out that he was a notable prisoner, he was notorious, that he was an insurrectionist, that he would not submit to authority, and that he was not a law and order man at all, and he was a murderer. And so in this verse it says, he was guilty of sedition. He was a troublemaker. I'm sure you know Zach is our guy back there on the police force now. And I'm sure that if Barabbas had been in Derrick's, Zach would have been getting calls every night. Zach? Yeah. Barabbas again? What's he done now? And they'd go over it with him and he'd have to go and try to arrest Barabbas. It's constant. Guilty of sedition. For murder had been cast into prison. So you get the picture of a real evil, wicked man named Barabbas. I could preach a sermon on the fact that I am Barabbas. Because in the Bible I'm taught that I am guilty, that I am a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one, Paul wrote in the book of Romans. And so I could say, was Barabbas. In a sense, I could say that. And what kind of a man was Jesus? I imagine all of you could tell me many things about Jesus. Let's look in John chapter 18, in John chapter 18, and find out what Pilate says about Jesus. In John chapter 18 and verse 38, John 18 and 38, here's Pilate again. And Pilate was the leader of the Roman Empire. And so Pilate, he represents Washington. He represents the government. It would be kind of like if he were in Washington and it was on television and it was on Fox and CNN and MSNBC and all the others. He would be like the one who is the main man in authority. And so we have Barabbas and we have Jesus. And so he's saying, y'all make a choice between Barabbas and Jesus. Well, notice here in John 18:38, Pilate said unto him, what is truth? I could do a whole lesson on that question. Pilate said, what is truth? And when he said this, he went out again into the Jews, unto the Jewish people, the leaders of Israel, and said unto them, I find no fault at all. That was what Pilate saw. That was his decision. I find no fault in this man Jesus at all. And I know I feel the same way. And I've looked and studied the Bible all of my life, and many of you have also. And I've looked at history for the last 2,000 years, and I've read all the history books, many of them, and seen all the emphasis of history. And I can't find anything wrong with Jesus. I can't find any fault with Jesus. Oh yeah, one of the crowd, those, the Barabbas crowd, if we was in Washington, D.C., even if we were standing before the Supreme Court, you see, there is a crowd of people marching in our world, men and women, and even today seem like more women than anything else. And it seems like they, in my mind, would be crying, Barabbas! Barabbas! Give us Barabbas, don't give us Jesus! Because Jesus is the one who doesn't think like we think. I don't know about all that. That's serious business, isn't it? John 18:38, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. John 19:4. Look at that. John 19:4. Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know, Pilate wanted it made sure, that I find no fault in him. Look at that next verse there, verse 5. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And that's when Pilate said, Behold the man, speaking of Jesus. When the chief priest, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! And Pilate said unto them, Take you him, and crucify him if you want to. I find no fault in him. And the Jewish people of the Jewish religion answered him, We got a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he claimed to be the Son of God. That was their charge against him. They said, he claims he's the Son of God. That is blasphemy. And according to our law, the law of Moses, the law of God in the Old Testament, a blasphemer was to be put to death. And so they said, Jesus is claiming to be the Son of God. He's a blasphemer. We need to put him to death. Pilate, therefore, heard that saying. He was the more afraid. You can see how nervous Pilate is. He went again into the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, he's trying to find out the truth, says unto Jesus, Where'd you come from anyway? And Jesus just stood there. Jesus was calm. He didn't have to shout out his credentials. Jesus didn't answer. He just stood there. Pilate said unto him, Do you not speak to me? Don't you see who I am? You answer me. Speak to me. Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you? And I also have the power to release you? Pilate is speaking that word. And Jesus answers. Notice what Jesus, calm and cool, I believe, and collected, looks at Pilate, and he says, Sir, you could have no power at all against me, except it was given to you from above, from God. Therefore, he that delivered me unto you, that was Judas, he that delivered me unto you, has the greater sin. And from then on, Pilate sought to release Jesus, but those Jewish people kept crying out and saying, If you be let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. And Pilate, of course, he wanted to be Caesar's friend. He wanted to keep his good reputation in Rome. You won't be Caesar's friend if you let this man go. And Pilate, therefore, heard that saying, brought Jesus forth, sat down in the judgment seat there on the throne that is called the pavement in Gabbatha. And you know the rest of the story. And then chapter 19 and verse 6, you see, he says, I find no fault. Well, we could look at some other verses to try to figure out about Jesus. Notice Mark 15:31. This is an interesting, Jesus is now on the cross. He's hanging there upon Calvary's cross. And the people around are wagging their heads and their tongues, cursing and crying out to him. In verse 29, they that passed by railed at him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, you that destroyed the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from that cross. So they are saying to him in verse 31, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Now, I'm not dealing with that second phrase, but the first thing they said, He saved others. And that's exactly what He did. And that's exactly what He does. He does save us when we believe in Him and trust in Him. He will save those who believe. So they said, He saved others, and they told the truth. And then in Matthew 27:43, those were crying around the cross and saying all manner of things about Jesus. As a matter of fact, some of the people said, He's hanging up on the cross, and if He'll just come down off of that cross, we'll believe in Him. They would not have. They would not have. It's like some of those, even in Washington, D.C., this week they already had their minds made up. It didn't matter what anybody said about guilt or innocence. They're going to crucify Him no matter what. And it's almost like what's going on here, only a whole lot worse here than over there in Washington, D.C. But you see in verse 43, there we are. He trusted in God. Let Him deliver him now if He will have him. They were just speaking awful things. They said, God won't even save him. He wouldn't have him. Don't want anything to do with him. That's what those religious people were saying. But they did say He trusted in God. And He certainly did trust in the Lord. And then after the crucifixion, after Christ died, after they put that spear in His side and the blood and the water gushed forth from His precious body, He died. And it was there while He was dying His dying breath on the cross that there was a centurion soldier. How many of y'all saw the movie last year about the centurion? Some of y'all did. You told me you did. Now you're not confessing it. You went to the theater and saw it. It was popular. What was it, year before last? Did I get the date wrong? Some of y'all did, didn't you, the centurion? Oh, well. Can't call you on that one. Here the centurion soldier in Matthew 23:47. Oh, that's not right. That's Luke 23:47. All right, two verses. Adam, I get you all mixed up back there. Luke 23:47, the centurion soldier said, Certainly this was a righteous man. And then in Matthew 27 and verse 54, that same soldier is quoted by Matthew as saying, more than that, truly this was the Son of God. I've made that same statement. If you are saved today, you have made that same confession. truly he is the Son of God. Now you could contrast Barabbas and Jesus. No fault in Jesus. Barabbas is guilty as sin. Jesus trusted in God. Barabbas trusted in himself. He was a self-made man, and no doubt he liked what he made himself into. Jesus was righteous, and Barabbas was unrighteous. Jesus helped others, and Barabbas robbed others and killed others, and he didn't care what he did to them. And Jesus was the Son of God, and Barabbas was the son of the devil. You see, Barabbas, there was a book written several years ago that got the Nobel Prize for Literature. You can read it yourself. Maybe you have, some of you literature people. It won the Nobel Prize for Literature. And it was written by a man named P.A.R. Lagerkristi. It's about Barabbas. And that Barabbas, after he was released, set free, remained the rest of his life with guilt, wondering about that man that took his place. Barabbas should have been the one crucified. Barabbas should have been the one. He was the murderer. He was guilty. But I like the storyline that goes in the movie and the books and so forth, that Barabbas never got over that. He thought, man, that day, that perfect, innocent man took my place, died in my place. And that's what you say, and I do too. As Christians, we say that. He took my place. I should have been crucified. You know that gospel song? I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died, but Jesus took my place. That's the whole Christian message, isn't it? That's what the whole world needs to hear. He took my place. But you know, I thought, and I guess I've said this before, 2,000 years ago, let's go back 2,000 years ago, we're there in the judgment area where Barabbas is there and Jesus is here, and I'm in the crowd, and I'm imagining that you're in that crowd. You're standing out there in that crowd. You young people, you teenagers, you children, you're in that crowd. Now then, I've gone back in time 2,000 years. If I was in that crowd then, knowing what I know now, listen to me now, don't get me wrong, knowing what I know now, what I knew when I was a 12-year-old little boy when I got saved, that's when I knew that Jesus took my place, that he had to be crucified, then I've thought of it like this. If 2,000 years ago in that crowd in Jerusalem, I would have had to have joined in that crowd. And when they said, what shall I do with Jesus? I know it sounds horrible. I would have been saying, crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! Because knowing what I know now and what you know now, if Christ had not died, had he not been crucified, I would be lost. So if I had been there then, knowing what I know now, I would have had to have said, yes, there's no other way for me to be saved than for Christ to die. Have you trusted in Jesus? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Have you believed in what he did there on the cross? He was not dying for himself. He was taking your place, dying for your sins. And the Bible says, if only you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest we should boast. Let us stand and pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful today for what you did on the cross. We realize we were as bad as Barabbas. We were sinners, but you took our place. And oh, dear Father, how thankful we are. And I pray this morning that as we have our invitation time for you, that, Lord, we'll make decisions that we need to make for those that are lost. Oh, would they come and be saved? For those who need to be baptized, would they come and say yes? To those who want to join the church or rededicate their life or whatever the need may be, I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that the decision will be made that will be the right decision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.